This episode of Off Course is brought to you by Squares Golf Shoes. Visit squares.com and take a look at the variety of footwear options, including the Augusta limited edition shoe designed with Sir Nick Faldo. And for a limited time, that comes with four awesome bonus gifts. Take a look and enjoy the show.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
And welcome back, everyone, to a brand new episode of Off Course. I'm your host, Dan Edwards, and with me this week is Jason Horodesky from Patterson Shafts. However, to my understanding, it's going to be a little bit different moving forward. So you will find them right now at Patterson_Shafts on Twitter. Jason, hello, welcome to Off Course.
Dan, good afternoon, happy Friday, and thank you for having me.
Yeah, we are recording on a Friday. Usually we drop on Friday, so it is kind of perfect that we are recording on a Friday. I want to get straight into it because Patterson Kinetics is something we've seen an awful lot, especially from our great friends over at Club Champion. You guys have super cool looking shafts. It's my understanding there might be a little bit of a change for those who are familiar with your brand. Do you want to tell me or share with everyone what's going on behind the scenes there and what we can expect moving forward?
For sure. So it's a natural progression. We began in the industry as dedicating more capacity. You know, we're ODM, OEM maker, shafts, club heads, the gamut. In fact, we have more patents probably than most all shaft companies on the basis of. So we entered the market at our premium, at the premium level, the bespoken category, letting people know kind of who we were. And there's another brand that had done that in the past. And so we thought, okay, we'll put our brand foot forward and our technology foot second. So Patterson Kinetics, from day one, our products have always been branded Patterson Kinetics. Kinetics is technology, embodies us, but Kinetics is Patterson now. So as we move forward, you will see our products and our branding to be more concerted at the Kinetics side, just branded Kinetics, but it's one and the same. We don't sand and repurpose our shafts like 99% of all other shaft companies in the industry. We can't. Our technology doesn't afford us that luxury, to be honest, because we are always available for our bespoken category. We're never back ordered on products by spec, but sometimes it's a cosmetic issue. And that's the boon and the bane of this world we live in. You can't be one to all. But at the end of the day, Kinetics will ultimately be what you see on our products. And true to our core, you know, Patterson is Kinetics. That's through and through around the world, both at the corporate level, so our corporate org, and now, you know, just of our products. And hopefully we're going to work on the being a better marketing company. We've always put the horse in front of the carriage, and now we're going to have to kind of sway the pendulum a little bit. But that's the gist.
Well, that's perfect timing for that, because I asked you before the show started where we could find you on Twitter, and you said, "Hey, it's coming." So I'm putting you kind of on the clock here. We're going to see Jason on Twitter soon, so you guys can chat with him about all your shaft questions. But more importantly, I want to know where you came from and what got you into golf in general. What is it about this game that creates a passion in you?
Yeah, well, I think like everybody. So we commiserated for a moment there on the Canadian front. So I grew up, I like terra firma, even though I live coastal and have forever. But at the end of the day, you're either skiing, skating, or golfing. Golf was the in between, and I was fortunate to just, you know, kind of tag along with my late father and caddy, learn the etiquette as a, you know, formality of the sport, and so I got into it on the basis of that, and really at one time actually I thought I was going to play, when I was in my, you know, formative years, if you will, until others had said it was a waste of my intellect, and that's not to be egocentric, but I was, it's a hard world out there as a player. And so I figured, yeah, it's time to dedicate to my, you know, my training, my abilities, which are more technical based and, you know, brains versus brawn in that sense, but not to be egocentric. It's just that simple. Those guys are so good. And that's the deal. And so as a sport enthusiast in general, I've been dabbling in and with a technical background, you know, inventions, products, designs, you know, both from a mechanical and material standpoint since, you know, I was 16, 17.
You know, talking about Canadians, and I've never been much of a swimmer myself. I always joke that I like to play above the water, not in it.
Yeah.
So
it's truth. It's true. Our water is all awful cold, Dan. Let's face it. You know, the Seinfeld turtle effect. I mean, that's Canada for 10 months of the year. If you get a couple days in the summer in the lakes, you know, the Okanagan and in proximity to Alberta, that's a great spot for decent water. But yeah, I think we can agree.
So I want to talk a little bit about what makes Kinetics unique and the design elements. And the one thing I noticed, obviously, off the bat, and this is from product that's been around for some time, is that visually it's incredibly stimulating. It has that beautiful weave pattern. You guys picked a really vibrant color to be on the wall. You know, it's a great look, but there's something going on underneath that not a lot of people are talking about. And I'm going to ask you very kindly, Jason, I am not as smart as you are. So lay it on me in a way that maybe is a little bit more easy to understand, but we can all really gain from getting the basic concept of what's going on underneath the hood.
Sure. Yeah. Well, we pride ourselves in having visible fiber structural technology. What you see is what you get. And that's unlike any other company. No one else can make that claim. We can modify just our woven pattern, and that will have a appreciable impact on performance. So even products within a line, Ballistic series, for example, if you notice the our winding pattern between flexes, and it's not a demonstrable spec change, there is some variability there. So you're actually looking at technology. There's subtle imperfections and splay in the fiber on the basis of we don't put our wound shafts through a centerless grinder. Those are net parts. No one else can make that claim. So it's again, the form follows function. So the reality is that those are, that's not a decal. It's not a single sheet that's uniformly matched around the circumference. It's in essence, true form, you know, technology. And that has a absolute impact on someone's downrange performance. They're in their hands all the way down, you know, the fairway. So on the basis of that, we're very much unique. You know, we take leadership in, so we have freedom in manufacturing, which gives us a lot of opportunity to use materials that others fail successfully putting to practice for their optimal use. And that's the essence. You know, brush strokes. What you see is actually designed for you, or for a person, and that allows us to both have a unique aesthetical edge, but at the same time, you know, there is reason for that.
So that's a very visual thing for us, and I'm a very visual guy. If I can touch it or see it, it's critical for me when I'm considering options for my golf game. For whatever reason, it's just who I am. When it comes down to the actual manufacturing process, you do something a little bit differently, and without actually saying it, I'll let you talk about it. I believe the idea is you get to use significantly less, is it resin or glue or whatever you use to bond things together in the shaft process?
For all intent and purpose. So we would start with the industry, you know, on the basis of, we have some proprietary, you know, wetting procedures, but our vacuum curing process will actually eliminate appreciably greater quantity of resin and allow the fibers to have a perfect and uniform coating, if you will, of the resin itself, which is essential, but it's not overkill. It's why our products, for example, are very fickle for harvesting and any kind of shaft pulling. If someone is not, you know, familiar with that terminology, but you see it at times, club assemblers and builders will attempt to harvest a shaft and redeploy it, and it's not that easy with our products. It demonstrates that. So very little heat can destroy it. That's fiber. Our fiber area weight to resin ratio is much, much higher than anyone else, appreciably, demonstrably. And that in its own right allows the material to perform optimally. So you can take a material that you might see in a lab environment that looks really good and promising, but you know, you're sort of watering it down to put it to commercial practice, whereas our water down effect is less for all intent and purpose.
That's kind of what I was assuming in the practice itself, is when you have less of an element that doesn't really have a performance aspect to it, you are losing control of what you may be able to accomplish with a material. That's my assumption. Is it allow your shafts to have a greater relevance in their performance, especially by comparison to the other options in the lineup?
Unequivocally. Yeah. You'll see the differences where material will, you know, I mean, if you want to take out the example in the computer world, we're on a computer, you want to replace the silicon in your hard drive with gallium arsenide, which is what you'd see at a computer at DARPA. You know, you're going to get a clock speed that is immeasurably higher and faster than what we're talking on today. I mean, it'd be like true to form. I could almost, you know, touch you on the basis of. So the reality is no different in anything that we do. So you have a participant, and the level of participation is relative to, you know, the generally speaking, the volume of proportion involved in the recipe. So huge role. So we're using Kevlar, for example, in our ballistic series, and we're able to use it for it. Kevlar has no modulus, and it's very dense, and yet it's used to trap bullets. It's used to in really high performance defense scenarios. No one in sport has put it to practice like we do, because we use it for its elastic strength, because we filament wind it in yarn form onto our shafts. And that's very unique. We can preload it. We can tension it according to flex and change our winding patterns. So from that perspective, it's enormous freedom.
And that's great, because what you just said is probably over 90% of people's heads. But if they go look at a ballistic shaft, you can actually see the pattern that you use from that material wind down the shaft. And maybe that's why you guys chose to keep it incredibly visible in that product. Is that fair to say?
Oh, yeah. We don't want to hide it. It's open the kimono time with everything. In fact, we're going to be pretty blatant that way. Even on, if I get out on social media, I'll be very honest. I mean, I'm not here to bash anybody, but the fact is we want to be, let the consumer, there's, you know, this underlying ideology of truth in and people wanting honesty and knowing what's real and what's not. And we're here for that. And our technology speaks to that. It's purely transparent. Like I said, we can't sand and repurpose our shafts to make them look new for this year. Yet if we have an inventory and warehouse of product that we'd like to sell, like 99% of all other shaft companies. So that speaks through and through to everything we do, because we can't even harm our own product on the basis of it has relevance. It's part of its, you know, its DNA, if you will. And we're wanting consumers to understand that a little bit more. And there's a lot of this esoteric knowledge based and, you know, intuitive Aristotelian theory going on in golf, and it has been, and it's got to be cleaned up a little bit. And we're here to do that in a nice way, and you know, embracing the consumer. We're all passionate athletes and tech based and trained. So that goes to the core.
So one of the most common places I've seen your shafts is on the wall over at Club Champion. a great partner of ours. I have a blast every time I go in there. And it seems like most people, when they walk in there, they see a wall of shafts. And I would argue that Ballistics as a lineup, and likely here coming soon with Charged, you get that visual kind of, okay, what's that? What's going on over there? And then you kind of dive into it a bit. How has that partnership been with Club Champion for you guys? And has it sort of propelled people to experience your product a little bit more than you were anticipating?
Respect for Nick Sherburn and his team, and I've watched them grow. We're here to play a participant role, and he's discerning, and we respect that. And on the basis of having the right strategic partners in general, I think we could and will continue to play a stronger role in his in their paradigm and mix. And you know, I think number one, it's a tremendous experience for golfers in general, cut and dry, non-comparison to going into a retail shop and getting a very untrained individual. They spend a lot of time making sure that their fitter base is truly equipped, and they're always willing to learn, like all of us. That's the best way. And so that's the makings of a successful partnership. And yeah, we're excited about continuing to grow with them. And I think we're still working into that on the basis of growth. We're a very capable supplier, and not just from the technical perspective, but a volume. We're a true premium volume producer. One of the largest premium volume producers in the industry, top three in industry reporting. So we're not really yet. We're a little less obscure. We're obscure compared to the brands that you know and see. I mean, we would be none of our products are made in China, Bangladesh, other offshore locations. Half of our products or more incorporate U.S. substrates and raw materials, and are made under our wholly owned roof, which is another prideful thing. We're not jobbing. Our products are the most expensive on the planet to make. That's unequivocal, because we're next to one other company, the only other raw materials company. So, you know, half of my time spent in our raw materials business developing for brands who are makers for consumer products and automotive. And so we're actually an expert in not just golf shafts and club heads and sports, but we're a supplier of raw materials. So we speak from authority, and that goes true to everything we are. We are kinetics. We are about physics and electrochemistry, the most noble form of chemistry. And when we're proud of that, truly. So, yeah.
That, there are a couple things you touched on there that hit home for, I think, a lot of golfers. Number one, people love the idea that products are made here. I think that is incredibly appealing. We've seen it with a variety of options out there. When you feel like you've got a little bit of a homegrown perspective on that, and I hope you guys take advantage of that in the future, talking about this very much an origin-based company. And I also like the idea that you're willing to admit that they are not cheap to make. And for me, I think durability, I guess a combination of durability and confidence in a product, you don't want anything that's cheap. You don't want anything that was cheap to make. It seems like the more expensive it is to make, the more confidence you have in expecting it to last the length of time you need it in the bag. I think those are both incredibly appealing elements of your process. I think that's great.
Well, I appreciate that. Let me just backstep two spots there. Number one,
okay,
the one thing I wanted to make sure I didn't finish probably on the basis of our products are the most expensive to make, but they're not the most expensive at retail. Nowhere near, not even close.
Good point. Good point.
We're actually the single-handedly, and we present the greatest technical value proposition. In fact, to our detriment, dealers in across the world in places have said, you know, could you increase your retail pricing? Because we feel like your product should be sold for more on the basis of, you know, and an example would be our iron shafts to our driver shafts. There's actual parity on the basis of these. There shouldn't be a despair between products. If you're really truly putting in the same technology, it's relative. There's proportionate increases on the basis of your, you know, what you're putting into the product, extra materials and labor. But at the end of the day, we have the tightest window there. And number two, the raw materials and procurement and design element take place in our, is under our wholly owned Taiwan facility. So just to make sure that that's understood, and we're a multinational conglomerate, one company. And just want to make sure on that, no uncertainty about it. But we're not offshoring. When we say offshoring, the old days, because we used to have a very strong presence on the mainland in China, actually, after we left the United States, even. We did in some part of our products here. But when, just for example, in California, we're California in the United States, and the EPA came down and said, you know, you need a $6 million paint incinerator, noxious fume incinerator, versus your $3 million noxious fume incinerator. That gets expensive, and it's hard. So it speaks to a lot of industry, but nonetheless, we are proud synergistic producers that way.
That's great. I want to get a little less heavy for a minute, because you've loaded us up a bit. Are you still an avid golfer?
I am, except the funny thing is, when I show up at my, I belong to a few clubs, a couple clubs, and when I get mistaken as a guest, it bothers me. But one of them, I'm an original member, and it's a funny thing. But I am, and I have opportunity to hit a lot of golf balls. Although, so I have four daughters that I know about at the end of the day. And my youngest is 11. And so I really want to push her into golf. I mean, so gives me a chance now to start playing. So yeah, okay. I want to play and I can still play. I'm actually a pretty decent player.
Good. Well, I've always heard the best way to stop golfing is to get into the industry. So you're dodging that bullet a little bit, but not to the extent it sounds like you'd like to. The reason why I asked you, Jason, is because most people who come on the show, it's not just enough to know what the product does. They want to know what the guys who are either manufacturing, designing, marketing, they want to know what's in your bag from a product standpoint. So can you run us through your setup?
Yeah. So, I have a right now. I still hit for driver through and through. So I hit a Callaway Flash, Epic Flash, triple diamond, sub zero. Love it, and it just really performs well for me with our ballistic D30, and it just is a very tough combo for me to get out of my bag. I use the Flash 3-wood, and I find that's also excellent. And the hybrid, I'm through and through, actually still in that line. Irons, this is the equivalent of cheating, but it's Adele single length irons. David Adele and the group over there, Neil Oster, great guys, and we developed the shafts for that product, and it is, and I'm just not joking. I could play anything. I have incredible sets of irons. I mean, beyond my vault is pretty impressive, I think. And as a head producer too, I didn't make their heads, but at the end of the day, in fact, we more into metal woods. But at the same time, the Adele single length irons, and then I use TaylorMade high toe wedges, and the Adele single length irons are with our ballistic single length shaft. Mm-hmm. We do have a new one coming out. Well, actually, we're going to get very involved. You'll see forthcoming. We have what we call our one series in general. So you can actually have take a pill versus the bottle. You want to build your long irons one length, your middle irons another length, and your short irons another length. A little more conventional, then we're offering that in four weight categories. Actually, we're very excited about that. You'll see that come June, and I've been really engaged with those as well. But putter, I have a couple very unique putters, but I'm using my tuned blue putter shaft and putting the zero torque in the bag a little bit. But I just love that.
Yeah. Well, if you ask Josh, JB over at THP, he calls it the one length revolution. And I'm not into it. And I'm not spent much time with it. Maybe like 5, 10, 30 years down the road, I'll figure it out for myself. I am thrilled when people get excited about it, because anything that gets people excited in the game of golf is a really cool thing. And the idea that you have something coming out that could expand on that, that's pretty exciting for golfers, because I think it's really taking off right now.
Absolutely. It just takes that variability out of the game. And, you know, it's precision and control. I find when I play less, normally in history, I would have hit a lot less greens and that would be where my weakness comes in, and managing your metal, as they say. So I could still get it around, but it's got to rely heavily on the short game, and that gets pretty tiresome after a while. But in this case here, I actually, come back online real quick. And that's because there's just no variability. Honestly, I don't think, and this is probably a little typecast, I don't think Bryson is any better than these other athletes out there, and he's getting too much press as far as I'm concerned. I like what he's doing, but I'm going to be very brazen there. There's some incredible athletes out there. I see it in my long drive world. We have had set seven world records for ball speed. So I joke with these guys, when I hit it so far, I can hear it land, but compared to them, but at the end of the day, what he is doing, and this is to in support of him, he is making intelligent decisions. He's not going off intuition. And these golfers, even at great levels, they want to receive X factor result, but they want to go back to that old spec that they had. So again, mm-hmm. it's the test of intelligence, right? I mean, mm-hmm. how much can you keep banging your head against the wall? What he is doing that is so successful, and it's through his whole bag, which is incredible. Here's where he is an absolute superstar, is that he's embracing the opportunity to take advantage of technology to his benefit. And he will lap the field single-handedly if the others don't embrace it the way he is. That's the bottom line. So is he that much better? No. I just think they are making poor decisions. This is years ago. I read the Andre Agassi book, because I'd done some tennis rackets for Head. We'd done rackets for Head, and Agassi had a book, and he made a famous quote. I thought that was really great. Bad decisions lead to more bad decisions. Tour players, more often than not, continue to do that. And it's just one of those things. That's why we aren't embraced as heavily on the PGA Tour, yet we're in the Darryl survey. We're getting counts. But guys question their result, which is nonsensical to me. So at the end of the day, I think this is a real transcendent period. And golfers who are willing to embrace, you know, true, solid performance value that they see, even if it's different, will absolutely lap the field. And then Bryson's going to do that. There's just no question about it, because it's back to the single length thing. It's back. He's not just a great driver of the ball. This guy's an incredible putter. I mean, he's an of the line putter. Tiger Woods in his prime didn't throw the toe. There was no flow there, if you will, this whatever that is. But the reality is, he didn't throw the toe. He was an of the line putter. Guy that probably people don't even remember, Gil Morgan. He was second in putting in the era of Tiger Woods playing the Champions Tour, PGA Tour Champions. He was an of the line putter, incredible putter. So, I mean, Bryson has approached the game all the way through and through. I got on this tangent because of single length, but it's that good, and you got to try it. I mean, if you forget about what loft, you know, what iron you're playing, and look at it from the numbers, because that's what Bryson does so well. He's looking at the numbers. This is what I need for this. This is what I need for that. And he's got it filled. So he's got a bag that every club is an instrument that relies on. It's going to deliver what he needs. Scalpel. Well, it's a, whatever. I mean, it's like a surgeon.
It's the perfect tangent. And that's what we do on Off Course. You're never not relevant on the show, because everything you say is fair game here. And it gives me a chance to reflect a little bit on the images you're sharing in your the behind you right now, which is Kyle Berkshire doing what he does best, and a perfect pairing there that he and Bryson have hung out and swapped war stories, and Berkshire has blown him away with his ability to just hammer the ball. I believe Kyle does have your product in the bag, and is it a unique flex that he runs?
Well, actually, Kyle's a unique and incredible athlete. so if there's one guy that could do this whole thing on a player level, he's very unique, and I think he can do it. And as far as product, well, he uses our velocity. So we do every product of discrete length. So it's engineered and manufactured of discrete length. The cost borne on that preclude most big volume producers, you know, peers of ours and larger, much larger. They don't, because of the cost borne with that. They try to make it work with what they have. But he's using our long drive version of our Velocity series. And he started with our LD70. And we actually started the technology. It's a utility patented technology. It's dual flex. It kicks in the low butt and the high the high toe. So if you will, just outside the fulcrum, and it's very stiff in the middle. So it's people quote it as a soft shaft. It's anything but soft. And it's unlike others who are, you know, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. But at the end of the day, there's nothing hidden about our technology. That is true and to the core. 7 world records for ball speed, independent of clubhead and athlete, actually, not just Kyle. A few others have set this this up. But the reality is, using our long drive, LD30 plus, Chloe Garner and Kyle both won their respective world long drive championships on the Golf Channel when it was last broadcast, 2019, with the same shaft, the same spec. It's unheralded in the sport, period. And that same technology benefits every golfer in our standard Velocity series. It's very unique. In the beginning, honestly, there were several actual really accomplished PGA tour pros and green grass guys that we dealt with a lot. We did beta testing in the Coachella Valley. Guys where their ego probably exceeded their playing capabilities, and they got great results of their product, but felt our product was too soft. So again, we produced elastically tailored composites. Kyle uses an elastically tailored composite that actually gets very stiff. Think of it as an automobile tailored for a collision. Well, Kyle is a collision machine, and he's not broken a single one of our products in competition, which is very unique. So, wow. That's never been seen before either. And it's good stuff.
So that's really interesting, because when you go shaft to shaft, you certainly get a different experience. Obviously, softer in the hands is different than softer in the midsection. And obviously, a little bit more hidden is softer in the toe, which people might claim they're, you know, lagging the head behind the ball or whatever have you. How, when you talk to people about what should fit their game from a shaft perspective, between design and flex, what do you think's more critical overall, and how does that really relate to your product?
So flex is relative. So it's, again, it's not to get deep in the technical side, but that's okay. Let's just say force of acceleration. That's, you know, that's energy. So any flex can be put to that test. So when you look at the objective, you have to sort of set up the parameters statically. You can do that through the geometry of the shaft and on the basis of creating a profile. And then you can set up the strength of the shaft on the basis of your alignment of materials and your use of materials. So I think from the perspective of preordaining a consumer or range of consumers for a particular shaft or profile, I think you have to have that ability to understand that confluence between those elements. So you want to design something that's preordained to respond in a window that it will be put to the test on. And some instances you can do more than others. For example, the Chloe and Kyle, very different strengths using the same product. That is a very wide window of capability. There's not a gestalt. You know, we're all looking for this whole, you know, theory of everything, but the reality is still, it does in our products, generally speaking, cover the widest gamut of player capabilities. But that's why we have three utility patented construction technologies on the market today. Now, there are standard ways to make a product in carbon fiber. It's you know, resin transfer molding, it's filament winding, it's sheet wrapping. And those are the three core premises, but we've taken and tailored each. We don't use much RTM in golf shafts. In fact, we don't right now. We do for other industry, but filament winding and sheet wrapping, table rolling are areas of manufacture and generally the industry speaks on the latter. So it's 99% of all products out there are actually just sheet wrap, table rolled, and we have the ability to combine both and patents on it all on the, how we do what we do.
That's so interesting because I see and I mean, anyone can go to YouTube and see shaft get rolled. It's an incredibly interesting process, but you're obviously getting a little bit more complex with that, especially at the top end of the product, which is super cool to me. I do want to touch on one additional thing. And you might give me grief on it, but hey, we're learning as we go. Okay. So I've played golf for, let's see, 30-ish years now. I have never genuinely considered outside of, hey, that looks cool, putting a graphite shaft in my putter. And I'm probably one of, 90% of people who just say, hey, that's what came with the putter. That's the shaft I'm going to use and hopefully it fits. What's the selling feature on, you obviously have a product in your bag, you have a new product coming to market, Zero Torque. When people out there have a putter they love and they're not super thrilled about getting a new product, but they want a little bit of a change. Number one, why should they change to graphite? I guess, why should I? And number two, what can you expect from it?
So it's true to the core, through and through. Use your head, change your shaft. Number one, it doesn't matter what club you're using. So we can optimize any club head. And we see it because I do a ton of robot testing, obviously all in-house. And I see what club heads are laggards. Now, can you explain why you're using a steel shaft in your putter? I'll answer a question with a question. I'm not giving you grief on it. I'm just simply giving you a little elbow on the basis of, you know, do you understand why you're using a steel shaft? I mean, what's your benefit there? What's your gain?
Well, that's just it. And that's why I led with, hey, that's what it came with. That's what it's got to be working, right?
Well, that's just it. And so, you know, I love that commercial. I just saw it, the Rocket Mortgage. You know, are you sure? You know, the guy from Saturday Night Live, it's really funny. You know, pretty sure is fun, but, you know, you might subject yourself to risk. And so, you, again, golf is about eliminating the variables. And in a more, you know, realistic and you know, efficient approach for the listener community out there. And I know you guys have a very discerning audience. It's a great community, Hackers Paradise, and you do a tremendous job in all your reviews. I will say you articulate very, very refreshing and clean. And from putt shaft, you know, putting's hard. it's nerve wracking and it's hard. And precision is not actually required as much if you have a product that's more uniform. So if you have a product that's got no variability to it, you minimize the variability. So we the most ideal putter would be one whole product, homogenous shaft head combined, one process made, and with a mechanical impedance that's matched head and shaft. Now that's impossible right now. It's not off in the, you know, far off in the future, but it's difficult right now for us to do and commercially exploit. So the best solution would be to really engage the shaft to the putter head so that it's as close to one whole body as possible. So you're minimizing variability, you're minimizing a bending profile in a shaft where you're going to have that in your putter shaft, your steel shaft. And so there's some deflection there. There's a recovery mode, believe it or not. The dwell time on a putter is much longer than the driver. But at the end of the day, That means that you're going to have some response in your hands that will impact where your ball finishes. So you can minimize that variability. I think you're going to do yourself a big favor. Our product does that. It's stiffest, it's zero torque. And at the end of the day, its objective is to be, shafts and any shaft company that tells you, they make claims for launch and spin characteristics. No, we're participant in the whole element. And the objective is to actually create independence. So allow the club head to be independent of the shaft at the moment of impact and or partake in that impact event. And in a putter, our shafts are designed to partake, to really become one with the head. That's the objective. That's it.
That is incredibly interesting. What a cool way to look at it. And fortunately for us, James actually over on THP, the hackersparadise.com, has put up some great information on zero torque from his perspective. So hopefully everyone gets a chance to check it out. Jason, we're about out of time for today. And I do want to say, there's a lot more to talk about when it comes to kinetics, and I'd love to have you on again, if you don't mind, in the future.
I'd love the opportunity, and again, it's I'm here for everybody. So to support all of that, I love it, and a good kibitz is good for me. It's a good way to get an escape. By the way, Tune Zero Torque will also be a club champion, first awesome. Retailer around. So, but look for that by the first week of April.
Hey, before we get going, I do this at the end of every episode. Do you have any questions for me by chance?
What caliber is your play? Like what kind of handicap do you carry, or what would you shoot on a moderately difficult golf course?
Do I have to admit it?
Yeah.
So right now, well, let's be fair. I'm in Ohio and it's post winter.
Okay.
So I finished the year at a +4.
That's awesome.
And I shot 2 under a couple days ago. So we're not there anymore. I'm thinking more like a 0 right now, but we've been playing some pretty good golf lately. Yeah.
I got to tell you, I will applaud your knowledge of what you need. So you're a Bryson disciple. You don't realize it, but on the basis of some of your reviews, you really have the ability to understand what you need. And I think that that's great for every guy and gal that's playing the game.
It's a thrill because, and you're obviously talking about some of the YouTube stuff I've done with THP. It's an absolute thrill to go through different product. And we have a great tech studio down at THP headquarters to see the differences between going back to back to back is one of the most satisfying things for me as I chase numbers. I've always been a high spin guy. I've always had a unique swing, a little bit steep, a little bit high. So, creating those variables up until a certain point, I never thought, well, I'm going to have to change my swing, but I'm a big Palmer guy, and he always said, swing your swing. And I think that's my future. So as I continue to develop my own knowledge base and a new product, and certainly your company will not hide behind that one for me. I'm going to find out everything I need to know as well.
Awesome.
It's just fun to unwrap it. So thank you so much for that. I appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. Yeah. And keep up the good work. Hey, listen, it won't take you but 2 or 3 days with the thaw to be back in the +4 category. That's good plan.
Thank you, sir.
Good for you.
Well, hey, everyone else out there, please make sure you do follow Patterson_shafts on Twitter. They got some great product coming as we hear some stuff I actually didn't know about, this potentially new one leg product coming out. And like I said, like Jason said, expect some more exciting information from them soon. And Jason, we'll see you again soon. For everyone out there who is playing golf this weekend, I do this every week. Please play well, have a great time, and go check out Patterson Shafts. Thanks, Jason.
Thanks, Dan. Take care.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.